Okay, everybody, welcome to a Wednesday night edition of 3 Ideas in 30 Minutes, a potent-smelling hot dog edition, as we are here in the smaller Senders Library. So I want to welcome everyone. I want to thank our sponsors for this evening, as always, Dr. Michael and Marilyn Fedak. In gratitude for the many weekly learning opportunities at BRS, we continue to be grateful to the Fedaks. Our learning, as always, is sponsored for Aliyah for the Neshama of Esther Tilabas Gabriel Pinchas. And tonight, today, because it is Nurse Appreciation Day, so not only does my wife get a free Dunkin' Donuts today, but she will have a class sponsored in her honor, in honor of all the other nurses and nurse practitioners who I call. I don't want to upset any doctors here, but I think they really run the medical profession, and the doctors come in at the last second and do all the billing. Anyways. Oh, I just stepped in it. Okay, here we go. Idea number one. We're actually going to start at page number 5 and then come back. I know I usually don't go out of order, but I'm feeling idea number 2 first. So we're going to start with the Sefer Shvive Chukei Chaim, who makes a beautiful, beautiful suggestion. Of course, Parshas Bechukosai is going to introduce us to the brachos and the klalos, or the klalos, really, of what's going to happen when we fail to live up to what Hashem is aspires for us. But at the beginning of the Parsha, the Pasuk says, "Vanisa Lechem." Hashem uses the language that he's going to turn towards us. What does that mean, that Hashem is going to turn towards us? So Rashi writes, "Efanem mikol askai l'shalim scharchem." Hashem says, if you do what I tell you to do, then I'm going to stop what I'm doing, and I'm going to give you the reward. So it's like the equivalent of you're sitting at the in your house, and your child brushes their teeth properly without you having asked them. They shower, they brush their teeth, they get into bed, and you're so happy. So what are you going to do? You're going to stop what you're doing, and you're going to go over, and you're going to thank them. You're going to give them the reward because you're going to be so grateful for what they did. Ask the Sefer Chukei Chaim. He says, Upliyahu. Does that make sense to you? That Hashem is going to stop what he's doing to give you reward. Hashem, after all, at any given moment, is satiating the entire world. He's running the entire world. The upper worlds, the lower worlds, every part of the world. You don't think Hashem could have also hacked that while he was doing all that to also give me my schar? What? Why do you need the imagery of Hashem stopping what he's doing and then giving us schar? If he's able to feed the entire world, can't he also give us schar at the same time? Why does he have to stop what he's doing to be able to give us schar? He says, I'll add to you this question, because the Gemara of Avodah Zarah tells us, Yudbeis Shaos Havei Hayom, that there are 12 hours in the day. Shlosh Rishonos Yoshev Osik B'Torah, the first 3 hours Hashem is sitting and learning Torah. Shnios Yoshev Edan Kol Olam, then he's judging the world. But Shlishis Yosef Edan, and in the third part of the day, Hashem is satiating the entire world. He says, V'gam Zekasha. Hashem needs to divide his day into 3 parts. Hashem couldn't hack doing all of it at the same time. Again, Hashem is keeping all of us alive right now. All of our heart beating and our bodily functions and the fact that we have food, not just here, but all over the world. So think about someone who's in China right now, New Zealand. I believe it's morning probably around then time, right? Yeah, morning in New Zealand. They're waking up in New Zealand right now. So at the moment that Hashem is having us in this room, he's also preparing the Erev Shah, you know, the morning kollel in a shul in New Zealand. So if Hashem is doing that, what does he need to divide his day? What is his imagery that Hashem divides his day into a few parts? Says the Sefer Chukei Chaim something beautifully. He says, El Lamdenu, Das Konenu Shekenu Anhaga Malchus Shel Seder Mishtar Kavua. The purpose of the Gemara of Azar is to tell us that Hashem, so to speak, has a schedule. The same way any other king would have a schedule, what time they get up and what time they eat and what time they... So Hashem, Kavayachol, has a schedule. Now, why does Hashem need to have a schedule? Because, therefore, the continuation. Kishamelech chafetz lahativ libenu, as poretz gedarav v'siyagav upona el tzarchei beno. In other words, it's not so impressive that Hashem is going to take care of us in a vacuum. What is impressive, and what does show his love for us, is if Hashem is, quote-unquote, in the middle of something else, he stops what he's doing, and then he pays attention to you, okay? So we could give examples to this, but let's take the example of a king, okay? If a king has all the time in the world, he has no responsibility, he's sitting around one day, and therefore he gives you attention, it's not such a big deal. Okay, the king gives you attention, it's always a big deal, but you don't feel that love and affection. You feel it much more if the king is really busy. And despite his really busy schedule, he takes a few minutes out of his schedule to be able to focus on you and to give you attention. Think about it as a parent or a grandparent. The greatest gift you give your child is both time and attention. But much more importantly, when it's hard to give them time and attention, and yet you give it to them anyways, that's how they know they're important. It's when they're quote-unquote competing with so many other interests. You have work to do, and you have learning to do, and you have responsibilities, and you have to pay the bills. And despite all of that, for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours a night, when they come home from school and you get home from work and you pay 100% of your attention to them, you stop what you're doing and you turn towards them and you give them 100% of your attention, that shows your true love and affection for them. If you have nothing else to do with your day and you give them attention, okay, I'm still sure they'll still appreciate it, but they won't understand the magnitude of the love. Children and grandchildren understand it so much more when they realize how busy you are. And despite how busy you are, you stop what you're doing to give them that attention. That shows them how much you love them. Says the Sefer Chukei Chaim, that is exactly what's happening here. When the Pasuk says, Uvanisa Aleichem, Hashem says, I'm going to stop what I'm doing. Rashi used that language, that Hashem is going to stop his business. In other words, Kavayachol, Hashem's in the middle of something. Efanemi Kol Askai, Hashem says, I got a lot of responsibilities to do. But nothing's more important than you. Nothing's more important than you. I don't know if you guys remember, but Moshe Weinberger was here a number of years ago. He told such a powerful story. I actually share it with my public speaking class every year because one of the things that I do with them is I show them three or four models of really successful Jewish public speakers. And I show them how each one tells a story very differently to show that there's no one model, but there are different ways to tell a story. So I have Moshe Weinberger, I have Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson, I have Charlie Harari, I have different people, Rabbi Frand. Each one kind of tells a story, and you see, each one's a master at their art, but they do it very differently. So one of the stories that I show them is Rabbi Weinberger when he was here. And Rabbi Weinberger tells a story that one day he had what he thought was an important decision to make, and he wanted his father's advice. So he calls his father at work, and he says, you know, Ty, I need a little bit of advice. His father says, hold on 1 second. He puts the phone down, comes back a few minutes later, and he says, okay, let me listen to you. And he listens to him, and he gives him advice. Afterwards, his mother calls him up and says, you know, what are you doing? He says, all right, I needed advice. He goes, you interrupted your father in the middle of the workday. She said, do you know what your father did when you called him with a question? He ran a store. He put down the phone. He went out and told everyone in the store that he's closing the store for a few minutes because his son needs his attention. And he kicks everyone out of the store. And he comes in and he gives Rabbi Weinberger that attention. So Rabbi Weinberger tells that story about what it means that when you give someone your attention, that's how you show your love for another person. And he was using that analogy of Hashem, that if you love Hashem, so you give Hashem that attention, that you give Hashem the attention that he deserves, or we ufanis aleichem, we turn away from everything else that we're doing and we give Hashem that attention. That, says the Sefer Chukei Chaim, is exactly what's happening here. When Hashem says, I'm going to turn away from everything, ufanis aleichem, I'm going to turn to you, why does it tell us that Hashem has a structure to his day, a schedule? Hashem doesn't have a schedule. It's creating a picture for us. That Hashem, so to speak, he's got a lot to do. And yet there's nothing more important than you and you and you. There's nothing more important than every single one of us. And I would like to add on that I believe that we're supposed to mimic Hashem, ve'alachta bedrachav, and if that's the case, that Hashem shows his love by giving attention, then we also have to show our love by giving attention. We show our love by giving attention to each other. Someone who's important to you, you give them the attention. That means that when you talk to them, you're not on your phone, right? When someone asks you a question, you're not texting while they're responding to you. Perhaps you even put your phone down at the dinner table, right? Oh, no, none of those are examples in our house, but I'm just, you know, shooting from the hip right now, right? But when you talk to someone, you give them your attention. And I believe that that's the case with Hashem as well. When we talk to Hashem, we come into davening, we should give Hashem his attention, which means we're not on our phone, we're not checking the news, we're not checking WhatsApp, we're not checking text messages, but we understand that if we're in a relationship with someone and that relationship matters and we want to show that love for someone, so we have to give them our full, undivided, 100% attention. Imagine if you came home at the end of the night and you had something so important to tell a spouse. And you come into the house and you say, honey, I got to tell you something so exciting. And while you're talking to her, she's scrolling on Facebook. You'd be so offended. You'd say, I love you. I want to tell you something. I'm so excited about something, or I need something. And you can't even look at me while I talk to you. That's how we have to treat relationships that are important to us. And certainly no relationship is more important to us than Hashem. That is the Sefer Chukei Chaim. Now you understand why I started with it. Because I believe in it so much. We live in a generation, we're so distracted. You can never be distracted from the relationships that matter the most. And one of the ways that we show our love costs you nothing. Piece of advice, unsolicited, to everybody in this room. This Sunday's Mother's Day, right? Mother's Day, it's a little bit of a scam, okay? Hallmark, they made it up, they like it, they make a lot of money off of it. But we love every day's Mother's Day in our house. But one of the ways, it's free to show a mother, a spouse, a sister perhaps, that you love them. Just give them your attention. If you give them your attention, it costs you a lot less than a card. You should do the card also. But that is a way that you could show someone your affection. Okay, that is idea number one. Idea number two. Now we go to page number one. This is kind of a summary of a few different ideas, and that's why I liked it so much. So, of course, the Pasuk tells us that Hashem tells us that does anyone have a chumash here? But he used the word komamius. I forgot the exact pasuk. Someone has to grab a vayikra for me. That would be helpful. No? Okay. That Hashem says, I'm going to bring you upright. And the question is, what does that word komamius mean? So I'll just read you the actual pasuk now that I have in front of me. All this is Ramban, which means they're like 40 pages in between each pasuk. Sorry. Thank you, Stephen, for finding the most difficult chumash on the bookshelf. Just so that I... Okay, right? Ani Hashem Elokeichem asher yotzeisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim miyos lahem el avadim. Hashem says, I took you out of Egypt from being servants. Ve'eshbor motos ulechem. And I removed the yoke from you. Ve'olech eschem komamius. And I led you komamius, which means standing upright. So what does komamius mean? So we, of course, know, we've spoken about it in the past, the word komamius appears not just here, but it appears two other times. One is, of course, in Shema, which we just said, and the other is in Birchas Hamazon, where we also use the word komamius in reference to returning us to the land of Israel. So he asks on page number two, what does the word komamius really mean? Okay, to stand up straight. What does Hashem mean that he says that I'm going to bring us and I'm going to stand you up straight? And I'll even add, what does this have to do with benching and what does it have to do with Kriyat Shema? So you're going to get a 3-for-1 right now. We're going to do one idea and it's going to help you in 3 different places. The Parsha, Kriyat Shema, and Birchas Hamazon. Here we go. First of all, Rashi says, what does it mean, komamius? It means bekoma zkufa, standing up tall. What exactly does that mean, to stand up tall? Does that mean that Hashem is going to straighten us out? That Hashem's going to send us to a chiropractor? What does that mean? So the Gemara of Basra says that very strange, peculiar understanding of this. What does it mean, komius? Remeir says in the future, the Jewish people will be 200 cubits tall, equivalent to 2 times the height of Adam Arishon. So Adam Arishon is 100 amos tall. And in the future, the Jewish people are going to be 200 amos tall. What in the world is going on here? Right? What does it mean that Adam was 100? And we're going to be 200, we're going to be double. Adam Arishon says this beautiful article. This is also cryptic. Why is komamius the end of the blessing spectrum? Why emphasize this word so strongly? So he gives 3 different suggestions. Each one, I think, complements each other and is beautiful. Number one is Rav Kook. Rav Kook writes that komamius is plural, signifying not one, but 2. So what are the 2 standings of a person? Rav Kook writes that the 2 standings are physical and spiritual. That we have to understand that as a Jew, we don't just have a physical side to us, but we also have a spiritual side to us. And therefore he says, komamius are 2 statures like that of Adam Arishon. For the body and the soul together are a complete stature, 1 physical and 1 spiritual. So we achieve our destiny when we understand that we are not just physical beings, but that we are also spiritual beings. That's why he says Adam Arishon was 100 and we're double Adam Arishon. What does that mean? Because Adam Arishon, what did he lack? Adam Arishon lacked the ability to, so to speak, to bring spirituality in the world. He was the first man created. But there was no religion then. There was no finding God then. He was a physical being. It was only with Avram Avinu and with giving the Torah that we achieved that sense of spirituality, that we appreciated that we are not just a physical being, but that we are a spiritual being as well. And so therefore, that is idea number one. And therefore, he says, it's no coincidence, page number 3, that the 2 times we say komamius daily are in Kriyat Shema, when we declare the unity of God, integrating all attributes into oneness, and Birchas Hamazon, when we elevate the physical act of eating. This integration, spiritual and physical, is the full spectrum of divine connection, stretching from Aleph to Tav, to komius, which was the other Gemara in Baba Basra that I skipped over. So idea number one within komius is it's the synthesis, the synergy of physical and spiritual. Why do we say it in Shema in Birchas Hamazon? Birchas Hamazon, because we're taking food, we want to remind ourselves that it's not just physical food, but that if we utilize food properly, it could have a spiritual end. I can't serve God if I'm starving. Can't serve God if I'm weak. So if with the right attitude, if I'm not eating for hedonistic purposes, but I'm eating so that I could be healthy and serve Hashem, then it's a spiritual thing as well. Number two is Kriyat Shema, where Kriyat Shema is Echad. It's the unification of all parts of our life. What more do we need to unify than our spiritual sense and our physical sense? So that is the Rav Kook. Then he quotes the Eish Kodesh, the Piazetz Nerebi, writing in the time of the Warsaw Ghetto, where he essentially writes that he believed that the inner surrender to Hashem could bring about komius, not just standing up, but rising with divine dignity. It means that when we submit ourselves to Hashem's will, he says, when a Jew gives himself over to God completely, then Hashem's desire turns toward him, and we are uplifted both physically and spiritually. That is why the verse first says, I will turn to you, and then it says, I will lead you komius, meaning you too will be elevated. So komius by the Eish Kodesh means a certain divine dignity, that when we submit ourselves to Hashem, we receive this dignity from Hashem that allows us to have an elevated purpose and an elevated reason of living. That is the Eish Kodesh. Rav Tzadok, in the last idea, is about Geula, about redemption. And he writes here that in order for us to return to Eretz Yisrael and to achieve our national destiny, we can only do that with a state of komamius. And so he writes on page number 4, and even though the general arousal of holiness is not yet sufficient for complete redemption actuality, for all of us to return to the land of Israel upright, komamius, and not as it is today, where people go to the land of Israel to live in humiliation, in exile among foreign rulers, nonetheless, such a person can bring about, through their inner awakening, at least a shift in judgment to redeem those captives who are in actual physical captivity. In other words, Rav Tzadok links komamius not just to personal elevation, but to national redemption, to standing independently in our land, rescuing hostages, asserting our spiritual dignity over foreign rule. So whereas opposed to Rav Kook, saw it as a personal thing, Rav Kook and a little bit, or the Pia Zetzner, saw it as a personal thing, that it's we ourselves feel elevated. Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin understood it in much more national terms, which is that we as a people have to experience what he calls komamius, which is we have to stop being apologetic, humiliated Jews, exile-minded Jews, but we have to start believing that we belong in the land of Israel, that a new age has risen on the Jewish people, and that we are dignified, that we can stand up straight, that we are no longer subjected to the nations of the world and to the humiliation of anti-Semitism, but that we have an army, and that we have a homeland, and we have a lot to be proud of. All of that is part of komius. And so he writes here, he summarizes it. And this is, if you remember nothing else, think about this every time. He says, imagine if we had this in mind every time we prepared for Kriyat Shema or said Birchas Hamazon. Number one, that komamius is not just standing tall, but fusing heaven and earth. Number two, that we are carrying the double stature of Adam, spiritual light and physical presence. And number three, that even in our lowest moments, Hashem reflects our turning toward him with his turning towards us. That is all understanding of komamius. So to me, this was just a great combination, I think, of a few different ideas to give us a real appreciation of what komamius means. Komamius on a personal level, that A, we carry ourselves with a certain refinement and a certain dignity, that we carry ourselves, submitting ourselves to Hashem, understanding the more we submit ourselves to the will of Hashem, we actually achieve a certain level of him turning towards us. The more we turn towards him, he turns towards us. Us understanding that we are not just physical beings, but that we are spiritual beings, and ultimately understanding what it means to be a Jew in the 21st century. A Jew in the 21st century looks very different than a Jew at the turn of the 20th century or the 19th century. If you were a Jew living in the Pale of the Settlement, if you were a Jew living in Eastern Europe 100, 150 years ago, your relationship with the world around you is very different. You were impoverished, you were dependent, you were subjugated, you were fearful. We, thank God, live in a different day and age where we have to rid ourselves, we have to strip ourselves of that mindset and remind ourselves that we have the ability to be proud Jews, unapologetic, unabashed, and unashamed. That applies here in America, it applies for Israel and around the world, and that is all reflected in the understanding of Komamiyu. So idea number one was that when you love someone, you turn towards them, you give them your attention. Idea number two was Komamiyus, and an understanding of it when we say Kriyat Shema and Berchas HaMazon. Idea number three comes from Rav Moshe Leiv Misasov, page number 7. I love this one. I love this idea. This is one of those like classic Hasidic understandings where you're like, I never in a million years would have read it that way. But once you see it that way, you're like, oh, that's amazing. Okay, so of course, the first pasuk of the second parasha tells us, Im b'chukosai teilechu. Ve'es mitzvosai tishmoru ve'asisim osam. The pasuk says, Im b'chukosai teilechu, that Hashem says, if you follow my ways, ve'es mitzvosai tishmoru, and you keep my mitzvos, and you do them. So what does each part of that mean? And it does feel a bit redundant. So Rashi writes, Yachol zeh kiyum ha-mitzvos. You might think that im b'chukosai teilechu means you're fulfilling the mitzvos. But then it says, ves mitzvosai tishmaru. So it can't be, because the next part of the pasuk says, keeping the mitzvos. So what does it mean? Hare kiyum ha-mitzvos emor, hamani mekayim im b'chukosai teilechu. So what does it therefore mean? Shetiu ha-melim ha-torah. That you should do Torah. That you should toil in Torah. What does ves mitzvosai tishmaru mean? That you don't just do the Torah, I mean, keep the Torah, but you have to do the Torah. That's Rashi. Everyone talks about this idea. That you should engross yourself, that you should persevere, that you should toil in Torah. That's not just about learning, but it's about putting the effort. And we spoke about that a lot last year in this Parsha Shir, about the value of putting in effort. How perhaps that's a skill set that's being lost on our generation, where we want everything quick and easy, but that there's a value in amelus, in training ourselves to try hard. But he takes it in an entirely different direction, which I thought was amazing. Turn to page number 5. He says this isn't talking about just learning Torah. Page 8, I apologize. He says this isn't just talking about learning Torah, but it's about practicing Torah. He calls mekach u'memchar. That this pasuk, he says, is about talking about going to work. I'll read you the upshot, and then we'll read it back. Shetiu amelim b'torah, we understood as toiling in Torah, which we understood as toiling in the study of Torah. He reads it differently. Shetiu amelim kama b'torah, should be in Torah. That all of my amelis, everything that I do throughout my day, my job, my parnasa, my kids, all of the hard work should be guided by Torah. Isn't that a beautiful understanding? It's where you put the comma. Is it Shetiu Amelim Torah, that you should work hard at Torah, or Shetiu Amelim, that I know you're going to work, but it should be Batorah. It should be governed by the principles of Torah. And therefore, he says, two different people can go to work. One Jew can go to work, and they can check their Judaism at the door. They may have gone to Shachar's, done the daf. They may have had a great morning, but the second they get into that boardroom, they are sharks. They might use bad language. They might cut corners. They might defraud, right? They do all sorts of things. And there's a cognitive dissonance between who they are in Shul and who they are in the workplace. Of course, a Jew has to behave differently. Shetiu amelim, that all of your amelis, your entire work ethic, has to be governed by halacha, by Torah. And so therefore he puts the comma after the word amelim to remind us that there has to be a synergy between who I am at home and who I am in shul and who I am in my workplace. It can't be that I'm schizophrenic. It can't be that I'm two or three different people. It has to be I'm the same person. And the way I behave or model for my family or I would behave in shul is the exact same way that I would behave in a workplace. And therefore he writes on the bottom right hand side, Ve'aperish kachu, im b'shas mekachu memchar. When you go to work, yucha l'kayim es ha-Torah kdosha, you can also fulfill the Torah. Now how do you fulfill Torah in work? What do you have, a chavrusa during your work day?
Be honest.
Right, you can be honest, with integrity, the way you treat people, the way you conduct your business dealings. There are lots of ways that you can keep halacha. I know someone, again, he's in a position to do it, but he has a posek on retainer in Hilchos Choshen Mishpat. He's a businessman, and he understands that everything he's dealing with, whether it's ribbish shilas, whether, right? Choshen Mishpat is really hard, and most of us barely study Choshen Mishpat. Even though it's one of the four halakim of Shulchan Aruch, it's probably the least studied. And yet, in a weird way, for many people who are in the business world, it applies just as much, if not more, than other areas of halacha. So this person values Choshen Mishpat so much that he has a posek in Kolel, on retainer, to be able to answer his Choshen Mishpat shilas whenever he needs. Right? Now, obviously, that's an extreme. Not all of us can do that. But it's a reminder that, like, everything we do has to be governed by halacha. Azai tov ma'od, if you do that, that's exactly what we should aspire for. V'kasha ma'od, he says, but it's also really hard to do that. V'tzarech shmira ma'ula, you have to really watch over yourself. You think that being a doctor is easy? You think being a doctor on Shabbos is easy with all the halachas, the myriad of halachas and calculations and concerns and cheshbonos of taking call and when taking call and going to the hospital, what I can do in the hospital. It's really complicated. And I'm not saying it can't be done, but you got to really ask shilas. You think it's easy to be in banking or in finance or in real estate or, right? You have a lot of choshen mishpat shilas to deal with. So he says, v'kashim od, v'tzarech shmirim uli. You really have to watch yourself. B'kach tzarech ha'adam, he says, therefore, this pasuk is talking about the guy who goes to work. And you want to do it right. That the whole time, even while you're at work, your heart is always in the world of halacha. Your heart is in the world of imbichu kosai teilechu. Harikim mitzvos amur. B'derech ha'pashut. Right, he says the simple understanding is that you should work hard in learning Torah. But he says what it really means is that even when you go to work, that too should be learning. So it's very easy to come to the daf in the morning and to feel firm when you do that. It's much harder that on Shabbos, when you get called into the hospital, to remind yourselves the halachas that are required of you. It's much harder when you're in a business deal and you know that you can crush that guy if you just squeeze another. They're halachos of onah. They're halachos of how much you can benefit off of another person's naivety, perhaps, or your, you know, capacity. These are halachas that many of us are not familiar with, but we have to understand. And so therefore he says, right, he says, v'kedasidim below shkarim, you can't lie, uvelo onah, so you can't have onah, which means cheating someone unnecessarily. He says all of this factors into how we go to work. And so therefore he rereads the pasuk. Im tu amelim, when you work, batorah. It has to be governed by halacha. It has to be governed by work. All of us in our own professions have those challenges, and quite honestly, in our lives, we have those challenges. It's very easy to talk about ethics and values here. It's much harder when your child is 3 years and 1 day old and you go to Disney and they ask how old your child is, and you know that if you bend the truth by a day, they go for free. And if you tell the truth, then you have to take out a second mortgage on your house. It's much harder. It's much harder to tell the truth there. It's much harder to tell the truth when you have to make the bottom line at the end of the month. And you know that if you do X, Y, or Z, you can get there, but it might mean either hurting someone else, backstabbing someone else, making a chil Hashem, right? These are nisyonos. These are the tests that people face every day at work. And therefore he says, to amelim, in everything that you work for, batorah, first and foremost, we have to keep our lens through the world of Torah. What does halacha dictate of me? What does Hashem want of me? You know, we have a macro principle of understanding that Hashem basically says that I can't tell you every intricate way that you should govern every aspect of your life. Right? There's no way the Torah ever could have governed every little way that every person would ever live their life for eternity. And so therefore Hashem gave like generalizations of how he wants us to behave. Kedoshim tiyu, you should be holy. Right? And there are others where Hashem basically says, I can't get into all the specifics, but there's a general way a Jew has to behave themselves. And I think that's what it's talking about. Shetu amelim, that in everything you do, but Torah, should be through the lens of Torah. So we saw three ideas. Idea number one was the Chukei Chaim, which I loved, which is that if you want to show your love for someone, you got to give them your attention. That's what the Torah means when it says, panis aleichem, Hashem says, I'm going to turn to you. What does it mean Hashem is going to turn to you? Hashem can multitask, right? Hashem could be on his phone while also doing his work and also giving you attention. No. When you love someone, when you cherish a relationship, you focus on them. That is something that every single one of us is going to work on this week, giving the people we love proper attention. Idea number two was komamius. What does it mean to be upright in our personal lives, like Rav Kook, to understand we're not just physical beings, but we're spiritual beings, nationally as well, to understand what it means to be komamius as a people, that we should no longer have our heads held low and humiliated and abashed as a people, but it's time. It's time to rise up as a proud people. And idea number three, Rav Moshe Lev Misasov, where he talks about Shetu Amelim Batorah. Not Shetu Amelim Batorah, not that we regarded Torah, but Shetu Amelim. And all of the work that you do should be Batorah, should be governed by our relationship with Hashem and by our fidelity to Halacha. And with that, I wish everyone a good Shabbos.